Welcome to Annunciation with Father David. Father David is the priest at Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Decatur, Illinois, where every week people are connected to the ancient wisdom of Orthodox Christianity. Here is Father David.
Christ is in our midst. Good morning. I've been talking about critical theory these last several weeks. And again, to remind everybody, this is really important because critical theory is one of the predominant ideas that is affecting our culture today. It dominates our media, it dominates our entertainment, it dominates our intellectual class, our academic class, and greatly affects our politics. And so therefore, we need to understand it, we need to know where it comes from, and we need to be able to talk about it from a Christian perspective because critical theory is antithetical to the gospel. And one of the premises that I want to talk about today is the premise that oppressor groups hide their oppression under the guise of objectivity. And I'm going to quote something that will demonstrate that this is not a new idea. This is from some writings from Foucault and Grassi from the early 70s. The gendered practices of everyday life reproduce society's view of how women and men should act. Gendered social arrangements are justified by religion and cultural productions and backed by law. But the most powerful means of sustaining the moral hegemony of the dominant gender ideology is that the process is made invisible. In other words, you can't really point to where the problem is because it's invisible. It's unknown. Even the people who are oppressing you don't know that they are oppressing you or how they are oppressing you. There's no objective order. There's no objective piece of data. There's nothing that we can point to and show this is the problem and this is how to fix it. It's just there, invisibly. Now, if we were to apply this particular point of view and this philosophy to today's gospel reading, the prodigal son would be in a world of hurt. Because as he is sitting there in the pigsty, covered with muck and dirt, feeding the pigs slop, which he would be glad to eat because he has nothing to eat, according to critical theory, he is being oppressed by an invisible force that the society has unknowingly set up to oppress him and place him in this particular spot. And because it is invisible, and because his oppressors don't even know why or how they are oppressing him, there's no real way for him to get out of his current situation. And so therefore, he will remain the rest of his life covered in muck, hoping to eat the slop being fed to pigs. In contrast, the gospel today says we don't have to stay in the slop. We don't have to stay in the muck. In fact, it is our job to understand that that's where our life actually is. As sinners, we are down in the slop and the muck. He comes to himself, says the gospel, and realizes that he is a sinner. I have sinned against heaven and against my Father. I no longer deserve to be my Father's son. I just want to be treated as a servant. This type of humility and understanding of the world is what is necessary for us to allow God to transform us. We don't have to be in the muck. We don't have to be pining over slop. If we acknowledge the fact that, yes, we are sinners, repent, turn around, go towards our Father, he will come to us. In fact, he's always been there. His Son, he sent to us to take on our flesh and die on the cross so that he will always be there to lift us up, to transform us. Note what the Father does with the prodigal son. He clothes him in the best robe. At the baptism, we sing, all who have been baptized in Christ have been clothed in Christ. Alleluia. The best robe is Christ himself. He kills the fatted calf in order to have a feast. Who is the perfect sacrifice? Christ himself. So that today we are able to set forth this table with the fatted calf of Christ himself, so that he might enter into us, so that God might dwell in us, and his transformative power give us strength to move beyond the muck, to pine over heavenly things instead of the slop fed to pigs. Christianity may seem to be a religion that tells people what to do in order to have power over them. And that is what your typical atheist thinks of Christianity. But they are sorely mistaken, because in a world where there is no God, as is it is with critical theory, in a world where the oppression that we all experience comes from this invisible force that we can't point to, there is no transformative power that can change us to lift us out of the situation that we are currently in. Christianity, on the other hand, lives in the hope that Christ is always there to lift us, to help us, to strengthen us, to transform us, so that we can move beyond all of the tragedy and trials that set themselves against us. That if we want to be truly free, if we want to be truly empowered over our own lives, the force that we need in our lives is Christ, not critical theory. And again, what here is exposed when we compare Christianity to critical theory is a reality that critical theory is not interested in helping people. It is interested in making excuses for keeping people exactly where they are, so that the people in power can continue to accumulate power. Whereas Christianity lives in hope that all of us will one day be transformed into saints, that all of this may be overcome by living and following in Christ. So let us take advantage of these coming days when we will enter into Lent and get an opportunity to look in the mirror, to understand that yes, we are sinners, to come face to face with our sins so that we may give them to Christ, so that he can lift us up out of the muck, clothe us with himself, kill the fatted calf so that we may partake of him, and through his power, his love, and his forgiveness, be transformed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever. Amen.